Book of Acts chapter 14. We're not going to go into 15 tonight, but we are going to finish up 14. And this is where I wanted to bring my map out, but as I said, I forgot parts of it. And I could bring my big one from in the office, but we'll just let it ride tonight. So 14, I'm not going to go through all of it because, to be honest with you, I forgot the last verse I went over. But we covered a bunch of it. But he went to the work in Iconium, and this is his first missionary journey. Paul and Barnabas and John Mark was with him, and then John Mark left. And then they went into Derbe and Lystra. And there they healed an impotent man at Lystra. And they got really, well, we do need to read some of this. There's part of it. I'm going to start in a different verse of what I planned on. So he heals this man. And let's just go ahead and start at verse 8 where that takes place. And there sat a certain man at Lystra, impotent in his feet, being a crippled from his mother's womb, who never had walked. The same heard Paul speak, who steadfastly beholding him and perceiving that he had faith to be healed, said with a loud voice, "Stand upright on thy feet," and he leaped and walked. Now when the people saw what Paul had done, they lifted up their voices, saying in the speech of Lycaonia, "The gods are come down to us in the likeness of men." And they called Barnabas Jupiter and Paul Mercurius, because he was the chief speaker. Now, let me stop right there for a minute. It started out, it was Barnabas and Paul. This is kind of the switch. And it kind of went to Paul being the so to speak, I won't say in charge, but sort of like leader. And then the priest of Jupiter, which was before their city, brought oxen and garlands under the gates and would have done sacrifice with the people. Which when the apostles Barnabas and Paul heard of, they rent their clothes and ran in among the people, crying out and saying, "Sirs, why do ye these things? We also are men of like passions with you, and preach unto you that ye should turn from those vanities unto the living God, which made heaven and earth and the sea and all things that are therein, who in times past suffered all nations to walk in their own ways. Nevertheless, he left not himself without witness in that he did good, and gave us rain from heaven and fruitful seasons, filling our hearts with food and gladness. And with these sayings, scarce restrained they the people, that they had not done sacrifice unto them." And Paul and Barnabas got scared. They went out and they preached, and this man heard and believed, and Paul healed him. And by that happening, all of a sudden, they're like, "Whoa, these guys are gods." You notice when you read in the Bible, you'll find angels will show up to people. And all of a sudden, these people fall down on their face with fear, whatever it may be. But they're about to worship. And the angel, even an angel, will say, no, get up. You don't worship me. And that's what Paul and Barnabas were doing. They were saying, no, wait a minute. I am just like you. I'm just bringing you the gospel. And there are some ministers today that need to read that and take heed to it. Amen. because they strut around like they are way up here and all the rest of everybody is way down here. Listen, their reward, they'll get their reward. Their reward's happening right now, but they're going to get a bonus one of these days. I'm going to be honest with you. I don't want anybody worshiping me. I don't want anybody telling me how great I am. It's all God. If I do anything fabulous, it's because of God. If I preach a good sermon, it's because of God. It had nothing to do with me. It's all about Jesus. And that's why most of my prayers, I pray in my prayer to hide me behind the cross, because I don't want you looking at me as, oh, Brother Jim is so good. No, that's Jesus. Trust me. That's who it is. So, and because that can put you in a dangerous position. People start bragging on you, and I've known a few, and known them personally. And people started bragging on them, and they really starting to lift them up, and some people can't handle that. And man, it'll go to their head, and next thing you know, they're in big trouble. You know, they're wearing Armani suits, and they've done put the Bible away, and I can't afford an Armani suit, but they're about $5,000, but I don't want one. But anyway, so that you got to be careful there. And I'm sure, me being a preacher, I can understand where Paul got worried. He's like, hey, wait a minute. They didn't waste any time. When they realized what was going on, they shut it down right then and there. But it cost them. It says in verse 19, and there came thither certain Jews from Antioch and Iconium, who persuaded the people, and having stoned Paul, in other words, they come in and they saw what was going on. I'd say they read between the lines, and they stirred them up, and then they stoned Paul. He was the chief speaker. Sometimes being a chief ain't always fun. So he was the chief speaker. He got stoned. They didn't stone Barnabas. They stoned Paul. And they drew him out of the city, supposing that he had been dead. Now, some say he wasn't. Some say he was. I'm not going to argue it. Personally, I think he died. But that's one's opinion. That's gemology, by the way. There is no proof of that. There's some things in other scripture that point in that direction. But nonetheless, I'm not going to get into that one. Verse 20, it says, howbeit as the disciples stood round about him, he rose up and came into the city. And the next day he departed with Barnabas to Derbe. And when they had preached the gospel to that city and had taught many, they returned again to Lystra and to Iconium and to Antioch. Now, remember on our map, they come out and they went all up through there and went to these places, and then they went all the way to Derbe. And when they got to Derbe, they turned around and they started working their way back. Now, honestly, they didn't have to do that, but they did it for a purpose. We're going to get into that here in just a second. They needed to do something. You know, what they did is they went and they preached. And as we're going to see, they left disciples in each of these places. And they're not like we are today. And sometimes I wonder if maybe we're not doing it all the way we ought to. But they didn't worry about building a big building. They just started meeting. And yeah, they had business meetings and they had all of the same stuff we do. But in verse 22, it says, confirming the souls of the disciples and exhorting them to continue in the faith, and that we must through much tribulation enter into the kingdom of God. Which, as I said Sunday, that's talking about the 1,000 year. But confirming, that word confirming, when you look it up in the Greek, it actually means established. So basically, what they did is they went, Paul and Barnabas went through all these places preaching. And people were getting saved. And by the way, this trip he was on, it wasn't They run over there and they run to this town, this town, this town. 3 months, he's back in Antioch of Syria. This was about a year trip. And it would cover round, by the time they round trip back was about 1,000 miles. So when they went, they started coming back, and they were, when it says confirming, they were taking these little groups of people and they were establishing a church, is what they, honestly, is what they were doing. And it says that they, verse 22, that they exhorted them. In other words, they begged them, more or less, called them, begged them to stay in the faith. Teach what you've learned from us. I'd say they hung out quite a while to be able to teach them. You know, they couldn't just roll in there one afternoon and leave. They had to do some discipling, and they taught them there. And then it said they exhorted them to continue in the faith, and that we must, through much tribulation, enter into the kingdom of God. They were having some problems. There was a young man in Lystra, and his name was Timotheus. Paul led him to the Lord probably on this trip, and when he come through Lystra. And there's some scripture that gives you the idea of all that, but which we may touch on here in a minute. But it's in chapter 16, actually 1 and 2. But then it says in verse 23, and when they had ordained them elders, in other words, they went back to these towns, these little cities, they established their little groups of people they had left, whether their church was in Jack's house or Ben's house, or it's wherever they kind of met. They didn't have it as easy as we do. We come into a heated building and nice padded chairs and air conditioning in the summer. Praise the Lord for AC, because 118 degrees, I wouldn't be wearing a suit every day. I did preach in short pants and a t-shirt one time. Oh, I'm on the air. Lord have mercy, help me. No, I was in Belize, and we were out in the bush. But I might be doing that here if it's 118 and the ACs ain't on. But anyway, they went and they ordained them. In other words, what took place here Sunday? They ordained elders of that. And the elder, by the way, is considered really a bishop or pastor. But they ordained them so that they could continue preaching. And I've got friends that still do exactly what they're doing the same way back then over in Africa. A guy named Chuck Fernandez is a friend of mine, and they go over there. Eddie Williams, and they're over in Africa, and they go. Well, Brother Chuck had to come home because of medical reasons for his wife, but they basically would go into villages and they would preach the gospel. They got saved and they'd get baptized and they'd start a mission. And it's amazing how God works. He would have someone come to Brother Chuck or Brother Eddie and say, "Hey, I feel the call to lead this group of people." And they would teach them. And then they'll take over that church. And they'd ordained them, made sure of all of these things. And so it's, and if you read it, it says ordained them elders in every, what does that say? Church. Because that's what it became. And he had prayed and fastings, they commended them to the Lord. In other words, they handed them over to the Lord. They said, "Lord, take care of them because we're leaving. We're heading out. And Lord, I gotta lay them in your hands." You know, it's kind of like me when I go off somewhere and I know I'm not going to be here on a Wednesday or a Sunday. I ask the Lord to put a hedge of protection about wagon wheel while I'm gone, because I'm not going to be here. And that's what I'm supposed to be doing. I'm here not only to feed you, But I'm also here to make sure there ain't no wolves getting in. That's the whole idea. And we've seen a few of them. But anyway, so they commended them to the Lord and on whom they believe. Now, verse 24, it says, and after they had passed through Pisidia, they came to Pamphylia. And when they had preached the word in Perga, they went down to Attaliah and then sailed to Antioch. That's back where they all began in Acts 13. That's where they were at when the Lord laid it on people's hearts to send them out. Missionaries, they'll do that. They'll go out. Like if we had a missionary that we sent out from here, and I could pick on Sammy, but I won't. Yeah, well, Sammy surrenders to be a missionary, and we send him to Madagascar. I'm not sure who you'd preach to there, but nonetheless, he goes and he travels around and he preaches and does, and he may be there for a year, 2 years. Then Sammy would come back here, among going to a lot of other churches, but he would come back here and he would tell us all about what happened. Even the parts where Bob got his leg eat off and you know, I had a friend of mine, I can't remember his first name now. Good friend, wasn't he? Brother Skeltema. He went over, he flew planes, and he flew them into the bush, and so he ended up in Honduras. And he was there telling us one day, he come back, and he was telling us about his journeys, and he said, I flew into this one village, and he said, they hadn't seen too many white folk. And he said he got out and he went in and preached to him. He said all went well. And he said on the way back, he said this big snake come crawling out of the bushes. He said, well, I went up a tree because he didn't like snakes. And he said, I'm up this tree. He said, this thing come up the tree after me, grabbed my leg and started tugging just like I'm pulling on yours. He did have some pretty good stories. I will tell you one, a guy, he was over in, I think it was Chuck Smith, actually, but Chuck and Elsie, they were down in Brazil, and he said they come out of the house when they had their little bitty kids, and they were probably about 4 years old. He said, and he's sitting on his tricycle, been riding around in the yard. Well, he stopped. He said, and laying under his tricycle was, I want to say it was a black adder, very, very dangerous snake and very aggressive snake. They will chase you and bite you and kill you. But here sits this tricycle and the kid sitting on it, and that thing's rolled up under the tricycle, and he's like, oh, he said he went to praying, and he said everything worked out. But anyway, they do go to some places that got some wild stuff, but they can come back and they fulfill. They let you know. See, it says in verse 26, they sailed to Antioch, and whence they had been recommended to the grace of God for the work which they fulfilled. That's an important statement. Anytime we feel the Lord gives us something to do, we need to fulfill it. And that's what they did. They fulfilled what the Lord told them to do. And it said, verse 27, and when they were come and had gathered the church together. In other words, they showed up and they got everybody that was a part of that church in Antioch, brought them all together in one place, because they don't want to go over this 30 different times. And they rehearsed all that God had done with them, and how he had opened the door of faith unto the Gentiles. In other words, they went to, when you think about all that they did, they left there, they headed out, they sailed in a boat. They may have gotten shipwrecked, because Paul said he was shipwrecked thrice, three times. But we only know of the one. But somewhere along the line, Paul got shipwrecked. Could have been on that trip. Could have been on the trip back. I don't know. He'd been robbed. He'd gotten stoned on this trip. He was telling them about people that had gotten saved. And I really feel like more than likely Timothy was saved on his first trip. On his second trip, we'll see, he's going to go back. But he got to tell them all of these things, and he got to tell them how I would say they probably had a count of how many people got saved and how many people they baptized. By the way, they didn't have that problem like we do today. People get saved and they say, well, you know, I'll consider getting baptized. No, they go ahead and get baptized. It's not a consideration. It's we're following the Lord in baptism. So they get saved and boom, they got baptized. And they became a member of that group. And so they come back and they rehearsed it and they told them about it. And it says, and there they abode long time with the disciples. They were there about a year before they took off on their second journey again. But it basically what they did is they had a missionary meeting. What a missionary meeting that would have been. Really, that was, I guess you could really call it the first missionary meeting. That was the first group of missionaries that were actually sent out because the Lord Jesus told his apostles and his first church to go out, but to actually go out and start missions, that's what these guys were doing. And so they were going out and doing what the Lord had told them to do. And then they came back and had the very first missionary meeting where Paul and Barnabas got to tell all the stories. And some of them were funny, I'm sure. Some of them wasn't too funny. The stoning probably wasn't a good thing. But that's basically what they did. And I really like the book of Acts because it breaks it all down as you walk through it of how the church grew. And I never understood and still don't today why they say the church started with the day of Pentecost. Don't make sense to me. The church was empowered on the day of Pentecost, but it already existed. And you can read that in very first few verses where we started in Acts. And then it's exciting as we study Acts to see where they went. Now next week, or maybe Sunday night, who knows? I don't know. The Lord ain't letting me go much further. We're going to start in 15, and it's a meeting they're going to have, which is a very important meeting, and there's a lot to this meeting. This should help us really in praying for missionaries. Not just Brother George Cormos, who we support, or Brother Jim Black, who we support. Any missionaries that you know of, if you want a list, I can get you a list of all kind of missionaries to pray for. But we should pray for them because some of these things that take place, we don't even hear about. But, and one reason, because we're so far out west, we don't get the missionary flow like they do back east and down south. Sometimes back there, you'll have 3 or 4 missionaries in a month. And they just happen to be in the States, and they're going to come through and let you know what's going on. But pray for those guys, because, listen, they go through a lot of stuff that we don't know about, not to mention that they're away from family. You know, they're not always home on Christmas, are they, Sister Judy? Your daughter with Brother Jim Black, because they're, well, right now they're in Bulgaria. But that's where the Lord's called them. So we need to pray for them. And not to mention, they're not in countries like ours, where it takes a lot of riots and a lot of voting to get anything done. Things there happen overnight. Man, they can change governments, boom, like that. And everything ain't good. I got some friends that were in Africa, and they were in Kenya, and they decided to go into, and I can't even say the name now, but they decided to go over into there and spread the gospel. Well, they were in there 2 days, and the government failed and shut the borders down and said, ain't nobody leaving. And so they were over there for a lot longer than 2 days. They were over there for several weeks, but they finally made it back. But it could have been a bad deal, you know, and it wasn't looking real good for them, because they had a lot of persecution. They had started killing Christians over in that part of the country. And, you know, sometimes we think we've got it bad here. We don't have it bad here. Not compared to what some of those got. So remember our missionaries in prayer. Because, you know, they live a dangerous life, to be honest with you. They really do. They go into areas that don't really care for the gospel and don't want it there. And they spread the gospel to people, and that's how they get saved. And that's how it continues on.